Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. On the vinnieeastwoodshow.com, 5 days a week, we'll be doing a three-hour broadcast with a musician or a scientist or a doctor or a journalist or a politician or somebody who's got real interesting stuff to talk about. Because, as we all know, ignorance manifests when there is a lack of abundant information. And many would agree, some would disagree, that the current media apparatus of mainstream talk radio and mainstream media is simply not up to the task. At the very least, it's because of the volumetric nature of these topics that we discuss on this program that actually require several hours of successive airtime in order to get the information properly out, rather than an audio soundbite, as I call them, audio nibbles. And my very special guest today is John the Baptist, Illuminati Congo. He's a Rasta, and we're going to talk to him today. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinny. It's an honor to be on the program with you. Thanks for reaching out.
Well, in fact, it was one of my listeners that suggested you, and in fact, it's usually one of the listeners that suggest every guest for the show, so it's as much their show as it is mine, except I have to work all the levers, you know, like the man behind the curtain. Yes. Now, anyway, we've already done this, but it bears repeating because we had a few technical difficulties earlier on, so we're kind of like doing a do-over. I want you to explain to the audience your name, John the Baptist Illuminati Congo, in its full extent.
Well, John the Baptist, ever since I was little, people have called me John the Baptist just because I've always been into spiritual sciences, and so they just associated me with that since my name is John. And as time went by, I just studied the name more, and I feel like I began to really embody the principle of John and the esoteric principles of John as well in my life. And then Illuminati Congo, I just took Illuminati because I feel that and I have evidence and research that, one, we're all enlightened to some extent. We all have something to offer. But two, the Illuminati, I feel, was started originally with a purpose to dismantle superstition and dogma, and to dismantle the Pope and the Vatican and the false kings and royalty of the earth, and to return sovereignty to the people. And so that's one thing I've always saw in the original meaning of the Illuminati. And I've associated that with myself. And then, of course, Nati Kongo in Rasta is it's a name for Rasta, for someone with, you know, thick dreadlocks. So Illuminati Kongo just came together for me to mean illuminating naturally or native. Everyone's natively illumined or illuminating. And I just wanted to help dispel the superstition and the fear consciousness and the blame that's put on just this blanket statement name of Illuminati, when there's actually real culprits to some of the conspiracies that are happening, and you wouldn't be able to find who they are by the name Illuminati.
Now, can we also think about this when people talk about the Illuminati? It's a generalization, you know, of a particular culture. Wouldn't you agree?
For sure. It definitely is a generalization. I feel that it might be an overgeneralization, and we might be applying the term sometimes when it's not warranted, because the term actually... To keep calling the conspirators the Illuminati when it's a name that means the enlightened ones, instead of using the terms, which we know words have magic power to them, I feel that we ought to redirect the power to the people. And so instead of using that as a general term for the ruling elite, I would rather use terms like the ruling elite, or the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, and Council on Foreign Relations, and really get to be more descriptive about it. I feel Illuminati is used, so now people just talk about, oh, Jay-Z, Illuminati. Oh, there's a pyramid right there. It's Illuminati, and now it's a big fad and confusion, and it's leading people away from actually being able to do anything because they're scared of this big Wizard of Oz, this big Illuminati.
We had a New Zealand musician sing a NWA song, Frack the Police, in a club in New Zealand called Illuminati, and the cops got called and dragged him away and stuck him in the cells for the night. You can't make this stuff up. It's hilarious.
That is wild.
Yeah, I remember also we were at a protest. Do you know about Jane Burgermeister, exposed a whole big swine flu scam way back in the day, how they were trying to ship out contaminated vaccines? And so we were protesting outside the consulate that was responsible for holding her against her will. And they called security on us. And, of course, the company was called Matrix Security.
Hell no. That's pretty tripped out that they're... They're just taking the name Matrix, saying, hey, we're keeping you locked in.
Yeah. Well, and also another point. Have you noticed how a lot of organizations, the definitions of their name are actually the direct opposite of what they actually do?
Yeah, exactly. There's just a lot of meanings are taken away from things and used differently. It's like reverse psychology. I personally feel that there is an underlying source of divinity and the true supreme power in the universe is a benevolent one, and that it's actually co-orchestrating everything behind the scenes, and using even when groups try to use symbols for evil, I believe that even still that good will prevail, because as long as there's people in the world who are processing their consciousness and getting through their fears and returning those symbols back to the one, back to good, or in integrating, being an alchemist, I feel that we'll be able to raise above that same reactionary consciousness that this reverse symbolism has been used to stimulate and trigger.
Well, maybe the Illuminati name is backwards. Maybe instead of the enlightened ones, they just dumb everybody down instead.
Yep, the Dumbinati.
Yeah, the dumbest down, eh?
Yeah, that's pretty much what's... there is definitely a dumbing down happening where people are being taught to just accept ideas, accept predetermined philosophies, predetermined ideologies and scientific theories. Like if every scientist accepted every predetermined theory and conclusion and said, okay, well, that's the truth. All right, we're not going to go search any further. We'd be stuck on some real dumb business right now. So I think that that we always must encourage imagination and the thinking about our unlimited potential. I think that's what we ought to encourage, and there is a dumbing down being taught. People are being taught to limit that infinite potential.
I was talking with a couple of people on the radio some time ago, and we were talking about like possible doomsdays. You know how some people said, "Oh, Comet Eisen was going to get us, or Y2K was going to come against the 2012, etc., etc." None of which happened, of course. And I was talking to them about Fukushima and the Gulf of Mexico and the GMO food and all of these other toxic things that have basically ensured the destruction of life on Earth as we know it already anyway. And they're like, you can't solve it. You can't solve those problems. And they go, well, hold on a second. Is there a limit to human creativity? Is there only so much human creativity and then, yeah, it's all cut off at the knees and then there's just no more, you know?
Right.
I don't think so, and they didn't think so either. Okay, so right. That means that there's no possible way that anything is the end of the world because you've got infinite human creativity and potential that comes up with stuff that nobody even thought of possible, good and evil, come to think of it, to stop or start terrible incidents.
For sure. I'm in agreement with you. Like, there's a tradition in India of the Siddhas. The Siddhas are the alchemists who would take metals like mercury, which is toxic, and lead, and arsenic, and a lot of poisonous plants, things that would normally kill people when ingested. But they would do a process to these plants or to these metals with other herbs and with pressure and cooking and turn it into elixirs and use these as healing elixirs that were reported to help overcome even physical death. In their culture, they have examples in their history of people who supposedly overcame psychosomatic death and physical death and are still living in a physical body through like spiritualizing their cells with these herbs that are mixed with deadly poisons. And I personally feel that all the poisons and all the fuckery that's being spread right now, it could be detrimental. But going back to what I was saying, the alchemist always knows what to add to the equation to turn these things back to the one and turn these things back beneficial. And I think there's actually a mass scale of that going on right now, despite what people with sinister agendas may have thought they were doing with GMOs and with mercury and all the estrogen in the foods and in the plastics. I think the ascended masters behind the scene that are more powerful than the conspirators have a greater plan.
Are you telling me that there's this kind of mass spiritual judo war going on up there?
Yeah, somewhat. It's sort of up there and it's sort of in here. It's really more with us. Like, it's more with the humans that are choosing to see themselves as ascended and are choosing to see, hey, this stuff that's going on here, I recognize that it's happening, but I'm going to go within and create a vision in my mind of something else. Actually, if you're familiar with Gianvallo Melchizedek, I was listening to him the other day, and he was speaking about some radiation, one of the rods that hit in Aspen, Colorado, and caused like high levels of radiation, and the governments and agencies around there were preparing to evacuate people within 100 miles of Aspen, Colorado. And as they were about to make the announcement, the scientists discovered that the levels were going down. and going down and going down till they decreased lower than they were originally in Aspen. And then they got to the lowest, one of the lowest radiation spots on the whole planet. And supposedly, you know, Gianvallo has very, very imaginative theories as well. And supposedly the governments or the agencies talked to the ETs or extraterrestrials, and they said, no, they didn't do it. It was the humans. It's human intervention through different prayers and meditations that we're holding.
Mm-hmm. Well, if humans are that powerful, it means that we in some way construct our reality. And I was thinking about this the other day, that the things that you bring into the physical world, be it music or radio broadcasts or pieces of technology or what have you, they actually have a profound effect upon all different other aspects of your life, like mental, spiritual, and physical aspects. You can invent things that can actually affect all three.
True.
This occurs to me to be the one power that the human race has that makes us very, very different and quite, I don't know, unpredictable, for better or worse. This means that you can't really lock down everything and totally set it in stone. Sometimes,
yeah,
things come to light, and you better look at these things that come to light, not choose to not listen to them, because what do you gain by not listening to somebody or a new idea? What do you gain?
Not just ignorance, I would say.
You already had it. You don't actually obtain any new ignorance by continuing to remain as ignorant as you were.
Right. You just expand in your ignorance.
Well, ignorance doesn't expand. It contracts.
Okay, I can see that.
Awareness expands.
I see that totally.
You know, it's one of these very interesting thoughts that you have, and you're like, that actually makes a whole lot of sense there. Because when we think about expanding consciousness, again, like human creativity, does there appear to be a limit? You know, there's only so much consciousness that you can expand, and then that's it. I don't think that's true either. So,
right. So that's why I feel that once you're certain, or once you feel you've grown up or learned everything there is to learn, that's sort of when you begin to grow in ignorance. Like it, I feel that you're the more certain you are, that means even the ideas that you had that might have been good before, now that you're cut off to new growth, Those things become like a cancer's growth because they once served you, but failing to relearn and learn new things is usually the cause of death.
Well, it's the lack of evolution, right? And so one would conceive that evolution of the mind is just as necessary as evolution of the body. You know, if you don't grow a certain kind of beak, you can't eat a certain kind of nut and you starve to death, right? If you don't learn how to use a cell phone, you're going to be cut off from the world, and your entire social life is going to fall into complete disarray, all right?
Well.
See, isn't that one of the unfortunate things, is that technology has actually started to make us dependent on it rather than independent of it. It's part of the way of life. You know, you need microphones, you need computers, you need editing programs and so on and so forth to make your music. I need it to make this radio program. Without it, we wouldn't have it at all.
For sure. And it's all made up of nature as well. Everything is nature. Every single thing is nature. There's not one thing that in the world that's not nature. So that's one way that I alchemize all of my use of technology. Is this is just a very defined, refined form of nature. It's an official art, or artificial, as you say.
Mm. Now, as a musician, what do you feel are the most important aspects of your music? Like, what do you feel, and what do you wish your audience should feel?
Well,
it depend on the song, of course.
Yeah, definitely. Overall, I'm in a mood of bliss. My music ends up expressing many different aspects. I have some angry music. I have some social music where I'm talking about social situations and political situations. It's mainly spiritual. It's mainly alchemy in my music. I teach how to view things from a different way, from an imaginative way, from a way that helps us to form our own unlimited opinions, or maybe build upon our unlimited potential more so than promote a fixed or locked in idea. I like to promote many ideas, and I like to stir up controversy and fear behind symbols that many people attach to evil. They attach like Baphomet, the goat head, the 5-point star, snakes, the word nigga, a lot of different things people associate as bad. And I really like to shed light on those things, because I think the more we make things bad, the more we set up a world that has dichotomies and fighting polarities of us against them, the right against wrong, the black against the white, the left against the right, Democrat against Republican, and it's just so stupid to me.
Mm. Well, it depends whether or not the fight is accurate. Let's say, for example, you're exposing the generalized Illuminati, you know, the Bilderberg groups and the trilateral commissions, and the Zbigniew Brzezinskis and Henry Kissingers and George W. Bushes and Rothschilds and Rockefellers of this world, and you're actually specifically trying to oppose them. Is that a false dichotomy? I think not. I think there's actual evidence to support a real conclusion that there is a credible threat. And if it's just about belief and it's like, oh, those people are heretics because they don't believe what we believe, what we can't actually prove with real documentation and what have you, that's the kind of dichotomy that I don't like. That's the left versus right. That's all of these other false arguments that basically take up everybody's time, next to the football, of course.
Yeah, for sure. I see what you're saying, and I view it from a slightly different way, because I feel that what we resist persists. And so I don't necessarily put up any resistance to those people or those groups, but I do work in magical realms of thought and metaphysics and in voodoo and in an actual work on the earth, because I feel that looking at, like, if I had a child who was out of control and doing bogus stuff, I would have to set some guidelines and set some boundaries down for that child. But to hate or fight against that child would only make that child's rebellion against me stronger, and they would rebel until they're diametrically opposed to me eventually. And so when we hate, we just increase the hate, and when we war, it's just more war. So what I see is, I say peace to George Bush, I say peace to the Bilderbergs. And when I say this, it doesn't mean that I won't stand up for a child that I see being attacked by brutality from police officers. And it doesn't mean that I won't go to a G8 summit meeting if I was called to do that. I support people who do what they must do. But I also feel that sometimes the way we go about it, we're creating those situations instead of dissolving them. I feel the human mind is the most powerful factor in this situation. And if we could direct our focus towards what we want to see happening more than what we're against what's happening, we'll be able to create what we want to happen instead of waste a lot of our energy in tinkering with what someone else has already fucked up.
Yeah, I agree to a degree. And I was just thinking about this. My goal to fight against these people, whether or not it's a fight physically or not, I don't really want to do the physical part. But this is my way of going about it. I figure that they draw all their power from their secrecy, right? From they're occulting all the knowledge, and so I want to de-occult all the knowledge, give it to people, and so that when these people try one of their schemes, they just go, "No, I know what you're going to do," and they're like, "Oh. Damn, our scam doesn't work anymore. I've been robbed of all my power. I can't control anybody because they know what I'm doing with all the power and control that they're giving me willingly."
For sure, for sure. I agree with you. I feel that the deepest occult knowledge, though, that is available anywhere, even to those people, is the unconscious and repressed thoughts and beliefs. In esoteric anatomy, the north was the top of your body, the south was your feet, the east was the spine or your back, and the west was the front of your body. Because in the east, the sun rises or the kundalini rises up the spine. And it's said in like Rolfing and in a lot of the body mechanic where they talk about how the mind stores emotions and traumas in the body, all the unconscious stuff that we repress is said to be in the east or towards the back in the spine. And that's called hidden or occult knowledge. That, like, occult is the hidden knowledge or the stuff that's secret. We have tons of information in our own life that is so secret to us. And there's ways that people, the techniques of initiation, of like ancient African and Australian tribes and indigenous cultures, and a lot of like rebirthing breath work, which I use, and a lot of different techniques are used to make this knowledge born and make this knowledge available to the conscious mind. And that's the knowledge that I'm most concerned, because I think it's what we hold and repress and suppress and is hidden from ourselves in our own mind is what's more dangerous to us and what's sort of recreating the same things we see out there. It's these hidden beliefs that we have that are locked away from us. And a lot of them, like you said, are manipulated by the media. The media makes... They put certain triggers out there and certain they play on mind and psychology in ways that make you store different things in your unconscious mind. So there is an agenda out there for sure, but this agenda is mainly propelled or given power, I feel like, in the Matrix by our own mind and our own unconsciousness, more so than there's an actual power outside of us.
Well, you know, and I think it comes down to complacency. You know, if you're willing to go along with it, it's because you don't know what it is. You know, that's the kind of thing. If like tigers, for instance, here's an interesting story. In India, when people go out into the bush sometimes, they're afraid of getting attacked by tigers, and so they should be. They can be killed by one swipe of his big freaking paw. So what they found is, if you put a mask on the back of your head, the tiger won't attack you from behind. Because it thinks that you're looking right at it. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's like some Wizard of Oz stuff.
You apply that to the Illuminati, you know. They always go for your blind spot. All you're trying to do is rub that magic marker off of people's third eye, isn't it?
Exactly.
You know, it's like we're being harvested spiritually, and it's not a game to them. And that's the thing. I've realized how easy my life is. I'm not being tortured or killed, or I'm not having bombs dropped on my city or something like that. Man, my life is sweet. Is your life sweet then, Tim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty decent.
Yeah, man. And the problem is, when things are really, really decent, you get really, really complacent because you've got nothing to motivate you, like an enormous bomb about to drop on your head.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And that's why there are people that are in very desperate situations that are willing to do desperate things because of these situations.
Well, and let's think about that for a moment. The average person out there, and I guess, did you ever used to be one of them average people who didn't know about all of this stuff? Because I was. I fully believed in the system. I thought that cops told the truth. I thought that the justice system was about fairness. I thought that politicians did what they said they were going to do. I thought taxes were legal. I thought police weren't brutal. You know, it just kind of had a bit of a rude awakening.
when you black in America, it's easy to wake up to that. Like early, like I woke up to that when I was like, 11, I read a few books then, and I'm like, yo, this is bogus here. I'm looking around at the world, and, ever since I was little, I was like, people, there's enough resources for everyone. There's no need for anyone to be without food, clothes, and shelter. And, I just looked at things differently ever since I was tiny, and I accepted like my parents and society's beliefs for a little while. And then in my, early teenage time and in my teenage years, I just was like, yo, F all that. I'm a determined for me who I am completely.
Well, if you have that concept of yourself in completeness, I was just thinking, how can oneself ever truly be complete unless you're just no longer yourself?
Well, that's sort of what it is. Like, the self is all. This, when I say the self, we have a local personality that expresses, and that's for relativity. That's so that we can relate. You must have a form and a local aspect to relate in the world of relativity. And then you have another aspect that is omnipresent, your soul, your spirit. It's everywhere, evenly distributed through all time and space. And so you can't really say that there's a self. That would be like a Buddhist concept. But it all depends on how you're expressing it at the time. And I've chose the liberty to be able to express myself however I see fit. For the moment, that's what I chose myself to be, is more of a flexibility, more of a maybe, more of a perhaps, rather than a certainty.
Well, is certainty something that gives people comfort, therefore they crave it and defend it?
For sure. It's certainty is a great delusion. It can be a comforting form of suppression for a little while, and sometimes you need to suppress something. Sometimes you can't have everything revealed to you at once. That, I mean, there would be no fun in a movie if it was all revealed to you all at once. And so that's why people sort of play the game of a gradual unfoldment to make it more of a thespian, more of a dramatic activity.
I'm just thinking about young men that get called up and go away and fight in world wars, 10 million of them, 20 million of them get chewed up. And they're all the ones that really believed and they were doing the right thing. They were certain of it, in fact.
Yeah, it's sad. You wonder how much of that is influenced by the media for them to do that, how much is influenced by economic conditions for them to do that, how much is influenced by school, how much is influenced by their parents. There's so many influencing factors in people's ideas and concepts that we take into account to make our decisions, rather than just going within and imagining a greater vision than what people pre-prepared for us with their institutions.
Well, the institutions weren't there to develop us. They were there to program us. They were there to facilitate something else, like the Industrial Revolution, for example. You know, man, people ain't all getting schooled in the exact same way. So that when they come in, they have to learn how to do all these machines, and they have to learn how to fit into society, have to do what we tell them. Yeah, let's come up with that, some public schooling, bro. Did that work? Yeah, it did. It got everybody into the cities, dumbed everybody down, reduced all the independence, and got people to put up with terrible working conditions. Thank you!
Yeah, it's a big farce. It's like people are so distracted on the schedule, too, that there's, like, not just with the schedule. They're distracted by that and the whole artificial timing and artificial calendars that are set up. And then also by the population, like when you're forced to be around so many people all the time in these cities, you take on their energy and their information into your energy body. And if you don't have techniques to clear that stuff, if you've lost your connection with infinite intelligence that allows you to feel your energy body and feel when it's bombarded with images and information and subliminal triggers from around your environment, you become almost like a zombie. It's almost like you're just going to be speaking and feeling and living out other people's ideas and ambitions and desires quite often and not even know it.
How many of our own ideas are really our own ideas?
That's a great question.
I was making some music with my friend the other day, and a couple of mates of his had listened to a few of our songs, and they picked out this band and that band and what have you. And says, it sounds like this, sounds like that, you know, as you borrow from them. And you go, like, well, oh my God, yes, I did. I think I see the resemblance now. I was just wondering, when you combine two things that currently exist and you make a new thing, is it actually a new thing?
Yeah, I would say it's a new thing and a combination of two old things.
Yeah, I mean, what if somebody put cheese and tomato paste together? Hey, I've made pizza. That's a new thing, isn't it?
In a sense.
Yeah. Well, it's just that means that whatever's there in front of you, let's say you've had a really crap life and you've had it very, very rough. Where does all the best music come from?
It's usually coming from the messed up parts and the pain, turning it into a gem.
Mm-hmm. You know why? Because it takes strength of character in order to do that. Somebody who writes songs that is helped by a sense of character writes songs that can last forever. Whereas you have a look at the music business, which is no longer about the music, it's just about the business, and all this wanky cheese on toast bollocks that just really sucks and has no message. If I had a pair of pliers, I would pull a tooth kind of music.
Yeah, or pull a tongue.
Or pull the finger. And It's interesting, though, because maybe you've experienced this exact same phenomenon. I'm in New Zealand and sometimes go to live acts and what have you, bands that you never heard before and never really hear of since. But they're bloody good.
Yeah.
Right? You've noticed this too, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. There's tons of really good music out there. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed by the amount of good music that I want to keep up with that I can't. There's so much, and it's way better often. Nowadays, there's a lot of music that's way better than what is pumped into people's ears on the radio and on TV.
what did they do with it? I mean, it's like, if you or I had a radio station, big ass network with like the millions of listeners and what have you, that these MTV and other advertising crowds had access to, there'd be remarkably different playlists going, wouldn't there? And what I find interesting about music and lots of art forms, in fact, is that they have the ability to change culture. They have the ability to social engineer to a large degree. What's acceptable in music, what's popular in music, starts to become the culture, and it starts up certain memes and things of that nature, and people start to imitate. You get all these clones of glam bands and what have you back in the 80s, and it just goes on and on and on. Haven't you noticed how some people are very cliche into their music? I mean, even yourself, if I might not put to a finer point on it. A rasta with dreadlocks that's into doing a bit of rapping and having a good time in music. Sounds about right, doesn't it?
For sure. For sure. It all depends on how you want to look at the whole situation. Like, for me, I personally see hip-hop and reggae and rasta as a movement in the urban cultures that has allowed for consciousness to spread and for information to spread that is often kept from people. And so like as far as me and hip hop goes and Lox and my whole thing, all of this is it's just a natural part of the divine movement. Like, there's no scissors or no comb. Like, God didn't make scissors or comb. So as Rasta, it's just natural that we would let our locks grow. As hip hop, we didn't have money for instruments, so it was just natural that we found whatever we could and made music with it. We didn't have our own media, so we found whatever way we could to speak what we saw going on in the hood and to make music that would, one, give people the experience of what we were going through. And the same thing with breakdancing. It's like breakdancing came from capoeira and yoga and different martial arts. And it was a way that those sciences could be preserved in our community, in the urban community, when we weren't being allowed these sciences. The sciences of our culture that existed pre-colonialism, pre-slavery, was stripped from us. And somehow in hip-hop and in the street culture, it all came back to us. The word nigga from Nigeria, from Naga. The word niggas means king in Amharic, Ethiopian. So everything sort of, it all depends on how you look at everything. That's why I say I'm an alchemist, because for me, hip-hop is a divine movement. For some people, they could see it as a Tavistock social engineering ploy. And there's definitely elements of both in anything. Like, there's ways you can use any medium for a dumbing down or for an expanding of consciousness. And really, I just think that there's too much emphasis on the dumbing down. I'm not against the dumbing down at all. I feel that there's a time and a place for everything, but I feel that dumb shit should only be like 1% of the whole spectrum of things, because there's a lot of other things that need to be expressed. And right now, the dumb shit is like 99%. And or more. It's all, I mean, there's hardly a room for anything of value in the present day media, as far as public media is concerned.
Yeah. When was the last time you heard a song that gave you a spiritual experience?
It's usually Motown music or reggae music. There's some new reggae music that does, but it's usually, and like, it's usually very obscure.
Oh, sometimes for me, it's like, it's just so beautiful that you just go, oh my God, that's awesome. You know, you actually kind of have this big shiver up your spine, and sometimes you even shed a tear or something if music's just that freaking good.
You know, there's actually a song on the radio that by a rapper named J. Cole called Crooked Smile that actually did that for me. He's just talking about how in the hood people have, there's like false expectations of beauty and how to be at comfort and at ease with who you are. And it was a good song. And sometimes people will make songs where they really touch on something. I haven't given up on popular culture, like to say I abandon everyone who's a part of it. I keep my ear to it in order that I can alchemize these things, because most people who have their ear to it are either being dumbed by it or they're being in fear by it, thinking about the plot of some downpressers and how people are victims and sheeple. Whereas me, I know that those realities exist, but I'm looking at these things and saying, okay, let's alchemize it. Like the Super Bowl, the two teams who came together were the two states who freed weed, made weed legalized. I personally think that's a divine hand behind the scenes who was allowing the consciousness of cannabis to spread more in this country, because it really needs to, because cannabis is a healing plant. It helps heal all types of ailments and diseases and opens the mind and decalcifies the pineal gland.
Mm. Oh, yeah. And it's also quite pleasant to smoke a Super Bowl.
No doubt.
Yes. Yes. Now, also on the cannabis side of things, there is a lot of development here. We have a number of states legalizing. We have Rick Simpson coming out with his cannabis oil curing cancer. We're looking at some kind of a global ganja revolution to a degree, and it's quite heartening for me because I think that's kind of how I wet my teeth in activism in and of itself. You know, I was helping out the legalized cannabis party here in New Zealand, and Dr. Green from the Dactory, they set up New Zealand's first cannabis cafe, totally illegal, got busted a whole bunch of times and moved on. But at one point there was like a couple of thousand members or something like that. They had lines going all the way through the atrium of this massive factory kind of thing, the people waiting to make their purchases. We're talking about really hardcore cannabis activism, like live like it's legal, you know. Yeah. and they did it, and sure enough, after they tried and been shut down, it starts to crop up elsewhere. Now, isn't that how weed grows? You know, wherever it grows, it winds up popping off a few seeds and it starts growing elsewhere. And it's difficult to get rid of.
Yeah. So that's a good correlation you make there. Because I definitely been in Chicago for the past 5 years. I've performed at and marched at the Cannabis March on Global Marijuana Activist Day, like in May. That's usually in the beginning of May. There's a big protest. And I've also done out of 420 events, which led me to do the last album that I did, which is an all-marijuana album called Green Is All I Need, because I just felt it was that important. Like, I love Mary Jane that much. She's like, she's there for me all the time. And Rasta, we've always said that she's the healing of the nations. Like, when I read in Revelations chapter 22, verse 2, which is 222, you know, I'm always looking at symbology. So when I saw that, I knew it was important. But Revelations 22, verse 2 said there would be a tree of life that would be the healing of the nations, and it would bring forth its fruit every season. And this, in the Bible, fruit was always known as works in the Bible, like what something could do, what it could produce. And cannabis makes clothes, food, shelter. It's good for meditation. It helps education by making paper where we could spread ideas. It's makes It's good for industrial use, like for rope. It's good for cosmetics. It's good for healing and all types of different medicine. It's good for transportation. Henry Ford built a car out of it. They made fuel out of this. It's good for economies. It'll help, like you said, it can pop up and grow anywhere. It can help any economy, especially third world economies that have been suffering. It can help them thrive. That's one reason it's made illegal. It can also help the earth. It removes radiation from the soil and helps. It's a great crop rotation plant. There's so many benefits of that plant, and we don't have to chop down forests in jungles in order to harness the paper and the fibers of it. And all of these reasons for me pointed to that plant was the actual physical representation of the tree of life that was the healing of the nations, because as we free that plant up, that's what's going to allow this sort of, I believe, a utopian almost experience on the whole planet Earth.
Yep. Sounds about right. And we have a song here that you've written, Puff Puff No Pass.
Yeah. That was, you know, I'm on a personal meditation. Sometimes you don't like to share. Sometimes people's lips are too soggy and too wet, and they get your spliff too wet, and you just want to, you know, you just need your solitude. So I just wrote a song about it. You know, I like to a little controversy, twist it up a little. So I pass my chalice around, but when it comes to spliffs, I usually take them to the dome.
Puff, no pass, puff, no passing. Take it to the face, to outer space, I'm blasting. Puff, no pass, puff, no passing. This one is personal, but yo, thanks for asking. Puff, no pass, puff, no passing. Take it to the face, to outer space, I'm blasting. Puff, no pass, puff, no passing. This one is personal, but yo, thanks for asking.
Now don't get me wrong, I like to share with everybody, but this time I ain't getting my spliff wet and soggy. I'm thinking so clearly, but seeing so foggy. I don't do drugs, I am drugs. Salvador Dali, I'ma take this one to the dome. I'ma smoke this all on my own. Roll your own this time, leave me alone. Cause you never look around when the weed is gone. Hit some cushion paper, roll your own joint. From some solitude and smoke, that's my whole point. Opportunists always looking for a split to exploit. Everyone would have their own homegrown if it was my choice. I gotta flame up and hold a meditation. If you try to hit this, you fucking up the rotation. Somehow every occasion, you know when loud blazing pop up out of nowhere, but you ain't part of this equation.
Puff, no pass, puff, puff. Puff, no passing. Take it to the face, to outer space, I'm blasting. Puff, no pass, puff, no passing. This one is personal, but yo, thanks for asking. Puff, no pass, puff, no passing. Take it to the face, to outer space, I'm blasting. Puff, no pass, puff, no passing. This one is personal, but yo, thanks for asking.
Thanks for having me.
That was very nice.
Oh, thank you.